Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Good to have y'all in worship with us. If you're visiting, I'd like you to know that we have a wonderful preacher that is here most of the time. Been here, 47 years? So y'all need to make sure you come back and hear him, because he is one of the best you'll ever hear. He's in the Calvert Church of Christ this morning down at College Station. Holding a revival there this week. But he is really good. I hope y'all will come back and hear him and not judge everything based on what you hear today. but, you know, coming up with a sermon's always something that's difficult. I'll start on one and I don't like where it goes, and I start on another. Something really happened in the last couple of weeks that made me get to thinking, though. There was a shooting in Dallas where two police officers were shot. And they had the man's grandmother on TV, and she said, "Oh, but he's a good Christian. He's a good Christian. I just don't know how y'all could think he could do such a thing." And it got me to thinking, you know, he's such a good Christian. And I've got a power thing here somewhere. Dan told me to use a PowerPoint, and I've got one, but I don't know where I put it. So we might go without that this morning. I don't know. Huh? Will that pitch pipe help? I don't know. Ben gave it to me. He turned it on. It's in my pocket. Hey, you think nerves don't have something to do with this? Get up here and have to follow in Dan's shoes. Hey, what is a Christian? You know, she mentioned that he was. And it just makes you wonder, what is a Christian? And that's this morning's sermon. The question's going to seem simple enough. What is a Christian, you know? We have all kinds of opinions out there. People all through the world have different thoughts about Christianity and what is a Christian. If you talk to someone who lived in Italy and said something about somebody being from America, they'd probably say, "Oh, yeah, a Christian. They're a Christian. They're from a Christian nation." And that might make me an American, or them an Italian, or someone from Germany a German. But it doesn't make us a Christian. To some, it means that you were raised in a Christian home. Your parents were Christians. Your grandparents were Christians. And that makes me a Franklin. It makes David a Sparks. Daniel's a plumber. But that's not what makes us a Christian. To some, it means that you believe in a religion that's based on the teachings of Christ. That might make me say I'm a Church of Christ. It might make someone a Baptist, someone a Methodist, or a Lutheran. But that's not what makes us a Christian. Still, to others, it may be that they have a deep personal relationship with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. How deep is our relationship with God? And the only way to really know what a Christian is, to really know a Christian, not what the world calls a Christian, but a real Christian, is to look in the Bible. Since the Bible is the written word of God, and it's the only word that tells the absolute truth, that's where we must look. We can't look in a self-help book or some kind of a religious book written by man. We can't find it on the internet by Googling it and see what a Christian is. We can only find what God considers a Christian when we look in the word of God, when we look in the Bible. And when we look in the Bible, something that's really interesting, the word Christian, you know how many times it's used in the Bible? Three times. Three times the word Christian is used in the New Testament. That's it. It's used in Acts. You know, this thing works good for Dan, but I keep hitting it. It's used in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. We read where Barnabas and Saul met with the church, and he taught great numbers there, great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In Acts 26:28, we see where King Agrippa told Paul, "You know, almost you persuade me to be a Christian? And in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, the Bible tells us, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. You see, they were proud to wear the name Christian. They were willing to suffer if they had to, and they were willing to do whatever it took to be a Christian. Not just in name, but to be a Christian. And why is it they were called Christians? Well, they were called Christians because of their behavior. You know, they were willing to go out and sell things to give to others and to do things for others. It wasn't by name only. They were called Christians because of the way they conducted themselves. They were out teaching others about Jesus Christ. You see why they were labeled Christians? It wasn't just because it's something they claimed. They were devout followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a Christian. There's a big difference in what many of us know as people who claim to be Christians and what we really see in the Bible when we see what is a Christian. You know, there are many in the world today that have all sorts of beliefs, but they're not founded from this Bible. And you know, if I have someone teach me and preach to me 75% of what the Bible says, that's not enough. God gave us directions, instructions. He gave us His Word to obey all of it, every bit of it. So what does it take to be a Christian? What does it really take? And that's our question today. It takes obedience is what it does. It takes obedience to what God said. I'm not asking what it takes to claim, like I said, to claim being a Christian. That's really easy. Obedience is not so easy. But the only way we can know what the Bible says is to look at it. And first of all, we know it's a gift, right? It's a gift from God. None of us deserve it. This is a gift that God's given us. But we must accept that gift. If someone gives me a gift and I don't accept it, what good is it to me? We've got to accept this gift from God of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And His resurrection is proof that He had power over death. And it's just really, really difficult to see why we don't notice that. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, it's by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. You see, we can't buy our way into heaven. And I can't go to God on the day of judgment and say, but God, you know I claim to be a Christian. I told everybody I was a Christian. You've got to let me in. That's not how it works. We don't bargain with God. It's a gift by the grace of God, but it's under His Word. Not what I want. It's what God said. It's a gift of God's love and mercy that we're able to have this gift. You know, one of the earliest verses I ever learned in my life was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, many people are under the opinion that all they have to do is acknowledge, yeah, okay, God sent Jesus. But that's not what verse 3:16 is saying. What it is saying is that we really believe. And it was written in the Greek, which the English language destroys a lot of words. The Greek was the most precise language that was ever taught, that was ever written. It was in Greek for a reason. It meant everything it said, word for word. And belief meant more than just saying, okay, I'll go along with that. Belief had actions with it. Whoever believed made changes in their life and obeyed what God said. And that's what we must do. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, the Bible tells us, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. See, were also. That's what he's saying as he writes this. We were also serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, not by just claiming I'm a Christian, not by works of righteousness I have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, as we read these verses, it's easy to see that salvation is a gift from God. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. There's nothing I did to earn Jesus to come to this earth to give his life on the cross. Nothing I've ever done in my life deserved me to have that. But I've got to accept that to be saved. We see in these verses it mentions foolish and disobedient and enslaved by all kinds of passion and envy and malice and envy and hatred. I mean, does that describe the world today? A man can shoot two police officers and he's a Christian? That's not explaining and describing a Christian. Not by the Bible. The Bible says Christians live different. We should live different from that. We live in kindness and love and compassion. See, we show mercy as mercy was shown. We're not supposed to live like the world lives, but as Jesus Christ lived. That should be who I judge how I live by, and I fall short. I fall short. But that doesn't mean Satan wants me to think, you can't do it, quit trying. But that's not what God tells us to do. He says, I'll forgive you if you're repentant. And that's what I have to do. That's what we have to do. 2 Corinthians 13:5. See, I don't know where I'm at on this PowerPoint, but 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul asked the Christians at Corinth, do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And we might find that phrase, if you see it, Marty, you can put us on that one. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I don't know where it's at either, but it's in the Bible. We can find that phrase, Christ in you, surprising, right? Or maybe we just read over it and think it, you know, okay, it says that, and not give much thought. But what does that phrase really mean? That for a Christian, we have Jesus Christ in you. Remember, this was in the Greek. It truly meant that Jesus was literally, practically living inside those Christians. That's where Jesus, he lives inside Christians. That's many verses of the Bible confirm the fact that Jesus actually dwells inside of Christians. We just need to realize that it still happens today, just as it happened then to those. Christ isn't merely here to help us when we have problems. He dwells inside of each Christian every day, every hour, every minute, and every second. Not just when I want to do good, and not just on Sunday when I come to church. Christ is inside Christians. He is inside of us. So how can he be inside of us? That's what Colossians 1, 15 through 18. It explains to us that Jesus Christ came to earth the image of God, who is spirit. But to take a fleshly form where we could see him as a human, that spirit came inside of man. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. See, Jesus didn't just come about when he came to earth. Jesus is God. In him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. You see, Christ is God in the flesh, the Spirit of God in the flesh of man. And that Spirit wasn't just limited to Jesus Christ. We have a spirit too. Hey, although he came to earth as a human, we have to remember that, you know, it's hard for us to explain. And I think it was Robert Duzan one night in our men's class. We were kind of having a lesson on this, and if somebody else said it, I'm sorry, Robert's going to get the credit, because that's who I remember saying it. But he said, you know, it's kind of like an egg. That egg, you've got a shell, you've got the egg white, and you've got the egg yolk, but it's still part of the egg. You know, we don't really think of God in the right way a lot of times. But God, there are different parts to God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's all part of the Godhead. And in order for God to accomplish His desire to dwell in man, He's took tremendous steps for us. First of all, He became a man Himself named Jesus Christ. And He came and lived as a human on this earth, but He didn't sin. He lived in a human form. And His actions and His speaking and His life, everything He did fully expressed God, because Jesus was God. And after living and experiencing all of this, we put Him to death. Hung Him on a cross because Satan thought, well, I'll stop you. But 3 days later, He rose again. You see, Satan can't stop God. Satan thought he was doing something when he had Him crucified, but he can't stop it. And he's still not stopped. You see, He arose. He was no longer flesh. As He went back to heaven, He said, we'll be changed. But when we become a Christian, you know, God made sure that we had something inside us that the other animals don't have. We've got a soul. And there's a place in there for the Spirit of God to be. There is a place in our lives. And although many verses reveal the wonderful truth that Christ is in His believers, there's a few. There's a lot in the Bible, but I want to highlight just a few. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, we were created with His Spirit. And we've got God on the inside and a Spirit on the outside. Our spirit is our most inner parts. That's where we really are. You know, if I'm in a wheelchair tomorrow, that doesn't make me different from who I am today. That's who we are. When we become obedient to the gospel of Christ, then we've got this. And because Christ is in us, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. You know, we put a whole lot of thought into our bodies. Boy, we comb our hair and we dress up right and we really present something. We think we do. That right there is holding just like we are. This body's just temporary clay. Clay pot. Temporary clay. What's really important? What's really important is what's inside. What's the treasure? Jesus Christ in the heart of a Christian. Christ lives in our earthly vessels, which might as well be that, because it's not going to be here forever. Christ lives in our earthly vessels as a precious treasure, revealing to us the glory of God from within us. See, as a Christian, we've got God within us. When we see in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, Paul said, but it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. See there? That I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, if we don't pay attention, remember the Greek meant everything, just what it said, word for word. And here it is translated from the Greek, in me. You know, we don't think about that. A lot of times we think to us, but that's not what it says, to reveal His Son in me. God's plan is to reveal Christ in us rather than from outside of us. Or to put it another way, God reveals Christ to us from within us. When we're a Christian, we've got that inner dwelling. To those who have Christ, God is pleased to just keep revealing more and more to us. but we've got to be willing to listen. I can't become a Christian and have Christ in me and then just not listen, and then just turn away and then just do what I want. That's not how Christians are. That's not what the Bible shows. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20 and 21, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Paul didn't say I live in a Christ-like way, or I'm going to glorify God through my behavior on the outward appearance. You see, when we become Christians, we're changed. Christ lives in me. He should. If he's not, I need to really get focused because I'm out of focus. He lives in us. He's clearly telling us Christ lives in Christians. And the Christian's life is not just a matter of behaving like a Christian. It's not just a matter of claiming to be a Christian, but it's a matter of living for Christ, who's in us. When we're married, we live for our spouse. When we have children, we live for them in a way. We do things for them because we love them. What do we do for God? If we're a Christian, we do things for God because we love him. A couple of chapters later in Galatians 4:19, Paul says, my children with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. You see, he's going to labor with these Galatians and help them be molded into what they need to be as Christians. They've got Christ in them, but he's going to be formed even more. If we don't just sit back, my daddy used to say, you can't just rest on your laurels. Now, I don't know what a laurel is, but you're not supposed to rest on that thing. You know? And I think too many times as Christians, we just want to rest on our laurels. And that's not what we should do. As Christians, we are supposed to live for Christ. See, Christ died for us so we could live for him. But there are two great facts. He died for me, and I have to die with him. My old self has to change. Only then am I really what the Bible says is a Christian, when I'm willing to do the will of God. And day by day, now I'm not talking about whether we'll get to heaven or not. I'm not judging anybody out here, but I am saying that we're expected to do what we can do. We read Ephesians 3:17, and we see that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. You see, when we have real faith, Christ is in our heart. The Holy Spirit's inside us. We have it. And as a biblical Christian, we should have Christ in our heart in all the things we do, not just on Sunday morning, but when I go to work, when I go to a ball game, when I'm at a restaurant. Christ should be in my heart. I should act like a Christian. And how did those first three, it's in the Bible three times we see about the Christians, how did they act, the first church? They acted like Christians. That's what God wants us to do. You know, we always say, well, we don't do that because God hadn't changed. Well, that's true. And he still expects a Christian to do just what Christians were expected to do in that first century church. By living in our spirit, Christ is our new source of life, and that's what he should be. So my question that I started off with, what is a Christian? A Christian is much more than just someone claiming to be a Christian. A Christian is one in whom Christ dwells. My question this morning is, Christ living in you? Is he in your heart? Do you believe in Christ? Jesus said in John 6:47, the one who believes has eternal life. Now, some want to end right there and say, okay, you got to believe. But remember what belief really means. It's more than just saying, okay. But Jesus also said in Luke 5:22, that I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's all of us. We're all sinners, but we better be repentant. Better be repentant. And if we've repented, some stop there. Well, I've asked for forgiveness. I said a prayer, I've asked for forgiveness, and I believe in Christ. Okay, have you confessed him as your Savior? Because Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will also disown before my Father in heaven. He doesn't stop there. You know, a lot of people do. They claim to be Christians. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Some say, oh, but I believe. No, believe and is baptized. That's what Jesus said. Jesus Christ said it. There's not a self-help book or a religious book out there that can change the truth. They can write all they want, but they can't change the Word of God. And that's what's in it. I guess the main thing I need to ask is, are you living in a way so Christ dwells in you? In John 15:5-6, Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, remain, see? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. See, if we get that inner Christ inside us, that Holy Spirit, if we remain in Him, we can bear much fruit. But if we don't allow Christ to work in us and be the Christians that we should be, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's just what He says. And if you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And He says those branches will be picked up and thrown into the fire. So being I guess what my message this morning is being a Christian consists of so much more than just saying I'm a Christian and just coming to church 1 hour a week. Being a Christian means that we have Christ in our hearts, Christ in our lives. You know, we can fool people, but we can't fool God. On the day of judgment, I hope and pray that I hear enter in, good and faithful servant. See there's works involved there, good and faithful servant. He knows what we really are. If you're not a Christian, you can't get there. There's no better time than right now. And if you're a Christian in name only, please change right now. You know, who knows what'll happen tomorrow? Who knows? But if there's any way we can help you in anything, if you would, please come forward as we stand and sing.